Well, greetings to you, beloveds. Such a wonderful day today, and as always, such a great pleasure to be able to share the Word of God, which is life transforming, which directs us. His Word is like a lamp unto our feet, and it directs us, and we especially need His Word in these challenging times. Many of us in different nations facing what has been referred to as a global pandemic. We definitely need the Word of God to lead and to guide us in this season. And today I want to talk about the subject of consecration. Consecration. It's not something that's widely discussed. It's not a topic that many pastors preach about anymore. Many of us, you know, many people have been talking and preaching about prosperity, about money, about material possessions, about things, but we don't often hear messages that have to do with consecration, that have to do with living righteously or living a holy life. And so today I want to deal with the aspect of consecration. And if one does an etymology of the word consecration, which comes from the Latin word consecrat, and also the verb, the Latin verb consecrare, you will know that the word consecration means dedicated and to be devoted, when something or someone is devoted as sacred. So consecration has to do with someone, something that's dedicated, been set apart. And when we talk about consecration, we're talking about where you are consciously surrendering everything that you are and everything that you have to God as a living sacrifice to Him. So when we speak about consecration, we're talking about when an individual consciously surrenders everything they are, everything you are, everything I am, and everything we have to God as a living sacrifice. And every saint is called to live a life of consecration. I think there's a misconception out there that maybe only people who are so-called called into the ministry are to live a consecrated life. Well, the first breaking news is that all of us are called into the ministry. Not all are called to be fivefold ministry ascension gifts, but we are all called into the ministry, to the ministry of reconciling others to Yeshua HaMashiach, into the ministry of evangelism, into the ministry of going out there to disciple nations. All of us are called into that ministry. And so therefore, all of us are called to live a life of total consecration to God. So this is not just something that is for just a select few or, few special people, but it is for every person. And this is the ordinary, normal kingdom life for every individual, every individual. I want to kickstart our discussion and sharing and teaching with a scripture, and that's from Romans 12. Verses 1 to 2, which is a very good scripture that, you know, calls us into that life of consecration. And the scripture reads as follows. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And then it continues in verse 2 to say, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So if you read the two scriptures together, many times we read Romans 12 verses 2, which admonishes us not to conform to the world, to the standards, to the principles of the world, but that we must be transformed. We're not to be world conformists, but we are to be kingdom transformers, and we will be transformed through and by the renewal of our mind. And then we can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But before it even says, be not conformed to this world, verse 1 calls us into that life of consecration. And it says that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So we're called into this life of consecration, to be set apart, to be set, you know, apart and consecrated and sanctified. And it is only when you are set apart and sanctified and consecrated that you will be able to live that life of not conforming to the world, that you will be able to be transformed to the kingdom, into the kingdom principles and the kingdom protocols and the kingdom standards. So this is a very powerful scripture that really speaks to us about consecration, about being set apart, about living a life, a sacrificial life, and presenting ourselves and our bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable unto God. So consecration has to do with a conscious decision. We have to make a conscious decision to be consecrated. And consecration also has to do with counting the costs. When we step into that life of consecration, we do so laying down everything, laying down everything and making sure that we are called, we know that we are called and set apart unto him. Another thing about consecration that we must understand is that consecration is also about sacrifice and denial. Sacrifice and denial. I think one of the misnomers or misconceptions that we sometimes have is that, you know, once we enter into a relationship with Yeshua and we receive Yeshua as our Lord and Savior, that it's just going to be sort of life is just going to be fish and chips and everything's just going to be hunky-dory and smooth sailing. But we need to understand that the word actually guarantees that we will have trials, we will have tribulations, and it guarantees that those trials and tribulations are actually to grow us, are actually to strengthen us, are actually to make our character. There's no way that the Lord would allow for us to never go through trials and tribulations, because it is those trials and tribulations that actually strengthen us and actually build our character. But along with the guarantee that we will have those trials and tribulations comes also the guarantee that when we are in Yeshua, when we obey his word, when we are directed by him, we will overcome every single one of those trials and tribulations. So we have that guarantee. And again, still talking about the life of a believer, it's not all fish and chips, but it's also about sacrifice and denial and consecration. We cannot talk about consecration without talking about that life that a believer is called into, a life which is also about sacrifice and denial. And I want to read Psalms 50, verse 5, which says the following. It says, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." So here we see and understand that our relationship with Yeshua, our relationship with God, is a covenantal one. And it's a covenantal one that is made with God by sacrifice. So that means that as we enter into relationship with God, we must count the cost. As we want to, you know, become disciples, because we first are converted, but our life does not end with just mere conversion, but we move on from conversion to be followers and imitators of Yeshua and to eventually be disciples of Yeshua, who can now answer the call. And as we progress, make that progression towards being his disciples after conversion, we must know that we must count the cost and make a rational decision in accepting his lordship, not just only accepting him as Savior when it's convenient for us and calling upon his name to save us in times of need or in times of desperation, but accepting him also as Lord over everything, handing over everything to Him, our finances, our marriages, our relationships, our whatever material possessions He's given, the ministries that we've been given to steward, we must hand those over and count the cost and make a rational decision to accept Him as Lord, regardless of whatever situation we face. It may be, you know, facing health issues, facing death, facing certain kinds of difficulties, we still must be able to count the cost and make that purposeful, intentional, and rational decision to accept His Lordship at all times. So consecration is about being set apart. It's about, you know, being living a life of sacrifice to God. It's about sacrifice and denial. It's about also, you know, making a rational decision to accept the Lordship of Yeshua. Consecration, still talking about consecration, I want to read Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. And it reads as follows. It says, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So again, we see the aspect of having to count the cost, of having to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Yeshua. That's what Yeshua said to His disciples, that listen, this is not just an easy peasy life. This is not just a life of just selfishness where we just pursue our own selfish gain, but this is a life of sacrifice. It's a life of denial where we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Yeshua. And in this era and dispensation that we're in, where people really want to pursue the easy life, the microwave life, where we want everything very quickly, we want to live just lives of pleasure, lives of so-called pleasure and worldliness, it's not easy to find people who are really ready to purposefully and intentionally decide to follow after Yeshua, deny ourselves and take up that cross and follow Him. And so consecration is about all those things, not pursuing the world, not pursuing worldly benefits and worldly protocols and agenda and worldly pleasures, but being prepared to make sure that we pursue the kingdom, we pursue Yeshua, we follow after Him. And we, in following after Him, it will require that we deny ourselves and take up His cross and follow Him. And follow Him. So when we do, know that when we are consecrated to Yeshua, whatever He calls us to, we will be able to fulfill that assignment, fulfill that purpose. We will be able to go the distance. Many people who burn out, who cannot last the distance, burn out because they've not, their lives, their personhood has not been consecrated to Yeshua. So if you want to last the distance, if you want to go the whole way, if we want to be able to run our race, our course, and finish our course and be able to say at the end of it all, I've run my race, we need to ensure that we consecrate our lives to Yeshua. Hallelujah. And consecration really is based on the understanding that God owns us. We belong to God. And we must know that we are consecrated to Him. We are consecrated to Him, and we're consecrated to Him because He is our Creator. He created us, and He created us in His image. Genesis 1:26-28, when God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he him. So we are consecrated unto God, and he is the one who created us. And not only that, he is the one who redeemed us. He redeemed us by the precious blood of Yeshua. We have been bought with a price, and we have been redeemed by God. And we must be consecrated to him, for we've been bought with a price, and we must glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God. That's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Hallelujah. Consecration. When we are talking about total consecration, it means dying to self. Dying to self. You cannot be totally consecrated to God when you're full of self, when you're full of selfishness, when it's all about you. And again, when we examine the way we live in these days, in this dispensation, we find that in the body of Christ, there's so much selfishness. People are pursuing their own agenda. It's all about branding themselves. It's all about making themselves known, making themselves famous, putting themselves out there, not putting Yeshua out there. And so total consecration means dying to self, understanding that we're not called to brand ourselves, but to be ambassadors of Yeshua, which means our calling is to brand Yeshua. So total consecration to God means dying to self and not living for self, not living to achieve our personal ambition. And this is what many of us are pursuing in this life, is pursuing personal ambition. So many of the things we do, many times we don't get on TV, you know, so that we can teach and train and equip people, but we want to be seen on TV so that we can become celebrities and superstars. So it's with a wrong agenda that we go on TV. It's with a wrong agenda sometimes that we write books. It's not to teach and train and equip the saints, but so that we can see our faces, have our faces and our names on books. And again, pursuing fame and pursuing influence, pursuing all that. So we have to be very careful that we don't pursue those personal fleshly ambitions under the pretense that we are fulfilling purpose. We must be careful of pursuing secular, humanistic, and worldly principles, pursuing secular, humanistic, and worldly things, and make sure that we don't become part of that falling away, people who are not living for God and not pursuing his vision, but rather pursuing personal ambition and personal preference, trying to be famous. Total consecration can never happen unless we die to self and we die to selfish ambitions and we pursue the greater purpose of God. Death to self must happen if we are to be totally consecrated, totally consecrated. How do we know that we have been consecrated? Well, let's go through a consecration test and see how can we tell that actually we have been consecrated unto him. Well, first and foremost, when you've been consecrated to God, then your worldview will totally change. The lens through which you view things will be totally changed. Your prayer life will even change. You know, you don't pray a certain type of way. You're not just going to be praying what I call shopping list prayers or grocery list prayers around, God, give me this, God, give me that. Your prayer life will change because your worldview has changed. You're praying for the redemption of people. You're praying for salvation for people. You're praying for nations to be aligned to their redemptive purpose. You're praying for righteous leaders to begin to arise. That's how you begin to pray. That's how, and when you will know that actually you have been consecrated unto God, because you see things from a different perspective. You see things from a God perspective. You are able to pursue God according to and in line with Matthew 6:33. Seek first, not last, not as a middle, but seek first the kingdom of God. Pursue the King of Kings and his dominion and his domain first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all whatever it is that you need will be added unto you. So the first sign of having been consecrated is that we see things differently. We see things not from a selfish perspective, not from a personal ambition perspective, but from a God perspective. The second sign that we've been consecrated is that we think eternity. We think of eternity. So we're not just thinking of immediate self-gratification, but whatever we do is guided by eternity. Our thoughts and our words and our actions are reflecting an eternal perspective rather than a temporal self-gratifying perspective. So we're focused on eternity. We do those things that will impact on eternity. It's not just about temporal possessions. Just thinking about the cars and the houses and the clothes, all those have to do with temporary perspective. But things like salvation, teaching and training and equipping the people of God, going to disciple nations, all those things impact on eternity. When we start focusing on those things, we know that we've been consecrated unto God. And again, another sign of having been consecrated unto God is that we always want to please God. It's not just about pleasing ourselves. It's not just about pleasing the flesh. So we're able to deny the flesh. We're able to crucify the flesh, and we're able to please God, not entertaining sexual immorality, not entertaining selfish and selfish desires and just material wants, but we're able to serve other people. We're able to give to other people because we've been consecrated unto God. So another sign of having been consecrated is that you want to please God in all things, and you want to know the will of God in everything that we do, and also fulfill, not just know the will of God, but to fulfill the will of God in all things. You always want to be centered in the will of God, doing what pleases him, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And another sign of being consecrated unto him is that you trust God. I love Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. When I first got saved, that was one of the first scriptures I memorized. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So when you know you've been consecrated unto him, you trust him at all times, even when you may not understand what it is that you're going through. You're able to trust him because you've been consecrated unto him. Consecrated unto him. So you're able to trust him with your heart. You're able to trust him with your future. You're able to trust him with your marriage. You're able to trust him with your children. You're able to trust him with your relationships. You're able to trust him with whatever possessions you've been given because you've been consecrated unto him. And when you've been consecrated, you know again that you've been consecrated unto him because you're not afraid of anything. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. You're not afraid of anything because you know whom you believe. So there's no fear concerning anything. And right now, in these times of COVID, there's so much fear out there. Fear of death, fear of contracting disease and virus, fear health related fears, fear of job, losing your job, fear of losing your business, fear of financial insecurity. There's so many fears out there. But you know, when you've been consecrated unto God, you're not afraid of anything because you know in whom you trust and in whom you believe. And again, another sign of having been consecrated unto God is that, you know, the promises of God, you see the promises of God manifest in your life and get fulfilled. And that is another sign that, you know that you're living a consecrated life unto God. And as I've said before, your prayer life changes from self-centered prayers to prayers which have to do with the kingdom, expanding the kingdom and bringing God's kingdom expansion and making sure that nations, people are equipped and nations are aligned to their redemptive purpose. Hallelujah. So those are signs of having been consecrated unto God. You live for the kingdom, regardless of whatever tests or trials that you may go through. You are focused on living for the kingdom, on living for God, even in the face of tests, even in the face of adversity, because you know in whom you believe, in whom you believe. So that's the consecration test. And I urge you to just take the consecration test yourself. Ask yourself those questions. Are you seeing things differently? Do you see things from a God perspective? Are you fixed on eternity? Are your thoughts, words, and actions reflected on it, on eternity and on the eternal, rather on the temporary perspective? Do you want to please God in all things? Do you know and do the will of God in all things? And do you trust God with everything that you have concerning whatever you have, your future, your life? And are you walking a fearless life? The only fear that you and I should have is the fear of God, which is not the normal type of fear, but it is around having reverence of God. And has your prayer life changed? Are you praying for kingdom things rather than selfish things? And are the promises of God being fulfilled in your life? Are you living for the kingdom? Ask yourself those questions as we begin to pursue the consecrated life. And so I want to encourage you to live that life of consecration, even in this time, even in this season, even in this challenging times. Pursue a consecrated life, a life that has been set apart. It's about a lifestyle, living a lifestyle that is consecrated unto God and not living a selfish, ambitious life, hallelujah, but living that consecrated life unto God. Be encouraged and be inspired to live that consecrated life, knowing that this is our reasonable service and this is the requirement of us as sons of God, as those who have an intimate relationship with God and live in covenant with Him. God richly bless you. I pray that this session and this teaching has ministered to you and has inspired you and has encouraged you to live and pursue a consecrated life and lifestyle unto God. I love you with the love of the Lord and look forward to next time. Bye-bye and have a fruitful and productive week.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network with our co-producer, Kela Paget. The voice of Apostle Josh Moyo as we come to you right now on our weekly program on a subject that is to deal with prayer. We all love prayer. We know the power of prayer. I can't say we love prayer. When we come to prayer, there's something that brings us to a place of relief, because in prayer, we begin to understand how God can be engaged by with you and I. But what I want to do right now, I want us to build ourselves up on something that I believe that God is wanting to do in our lives, and therefore engage with us right now, because I want to deal with a subject and a topic that I believe is very necessary and important in our time. Acts chapter 12. There is a story there. And the story begins by addressing what is happening in the life of the church. By the church, I'm talking about the early church. In Acts chapter 12, opens up by persecution that was rising up towards God's people. It is in such a time that we find there is a Herod that has just found delight in pleasing the Jews. He has gone ahead and killed James. It's a Passover time. He's waiting, for he has also arrested Peter. Now these guys, James and Peter, we know already they are the pillars, the prelates to the establishment of the early church. Right? The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, when King Herod realizes that it pleased the Jews, having killed James, took Paul, put him under the quaternion of soldiers, with the hope that during Passover they'll bring out Peter and see how they could eliminate or kill him. The Bible becomes very interesting because then it says in verse 5 of chapter 12, the book of Acts, prayer was made constantly. I love that. 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 Ha! Ladies and gentlemen, I can't overemphasize the importance and the power behind prayer. When prayer was made constantly by the church, God, who answers by prayer, released a heavenly crew, direct, specific to the place where Peter was in the jail prison. The power of prayer. We see it now, ladies and gentlemen, that even though Peter was subjected to a quaternion of soldiers, four squads, 16 soldiers tied to one prisoner. They had to do that when you come to think of it, because Peter was known of coming out of prisons by divine arrangement. So this time they wanted to make sure the boy doesn't get out again. But oh, our God, constant prayer was made. It is in this narrative, my brothers and sisters, we realize the importance of prayer. Because some of us, we take prayer as something that we do when we are in shock. We take prayer as something that we do as panacea. We take prayer as something that we do when we are faced up with some difficult problem. Something tumultuous is happening over our lives. But the Bible says in this scenario, it is similar to what you and I would do. Constant prayer was made. It is during the constant time of prayer that God is organizing the heavenly crew to go and release Peter, who was bound in jail. When the angels arrives, it begins by telling you the orders are clear. How Peter is to prepare himself. He is to rise up, wake up. He is to put on his sandals. He is to put on his garment. I find this very interesting because in prayer, oftentimes we don't realize that the miracle of the Peter we are asking God to release for us, it does take time. From the time when the angels are released from glory to the time when the angels are charging Peter to dress up, to put on his shoes, to put on an garment, and to prepare him as to lead him, to allow Peter to follow the angel. We don't know how fast the angel was. But I just want to say to somebody, there is a connection. And the connection is right here. That when constant prayer is made, your Peter is being prepared. When constant prayer is made,
Your Peter is being released. And I want to say that to somebody out there. I do not know what you are believing God for. I do not know how long you've been praying for. I do not know how big that problem is. But there is something that I wanted to understand, the connection of constant prayer. Sometimes it is not the eloquence, the adjectives, the proper lingo in praying. Constant prayer is made. And in the constancy of prayer, my Peter is being released. I wanted to declare that with me to my dear listener. My Peter is being released when I know the power of constant prayer. When Peter... Get ready because your Peter is getting released. We see in the scripture, the Bible says, the release of Peter. The angel directs the Peter that is being prayed for to be released. There are many compartments, many gates. One of them gates is called the Iron Gate. There are many compartments, many avenues, difficult terrains. But when God is in it, in the constancy of prayer, the Bible says, when they arrived with the angel at the last gate called the Iron Gate. We don't know how many gates that are coming up from behind, but the last gate of the Iron Gate, the angel then departed. And Peter is now supposed to go to Mary, John Mark's house mother. When Peter arrives at the house where constant prayer is being made. After Peter has jumped so many hoops to reach the place where he's supposed to be, to reach a place where they are waiting for him. Don't give up. I just want to say that to somebody. Don't give up. The Bible says, he knocks on the door. Watch. The Peter you are praying for has been released by God. Your Peter of a marital issue, your Peter of a financial hiccup, your Peter looking for another job, your Peter of your family pandemic, your Peter of the issues that are troubling you, making you not to sleep, your Peter of your stresses, your Peter of your depression, he has been released. And the release of your Peter is locating you now where the place of prayer is where my miracle is going to locate me. I thank God that I don't have to worry about how is my Peter going to be released. How will my Peter know the address where I am positioned praying? The same God whom you pray to is the same God who's going to release your miracle. And that miracle of Peter is going to locate you. He knocks on the door. Watch this. When he knocks on the door, there is a young lady by the name of Rhoda. We are told her name as if something wonderful that I believe Luke wants us to catch here in Acts chapter 12. Her name is Rhoda. Who is Rhoda? Rhoda is a slave girl. Who is Rhoda? Rhoda is a young girl. Who is Rhoda? Rhoda is a slave. Watch those three things. Who is Rhoda? Rhoda is a slave. A young woman. Very young. She's a female. all those adjectives around there will give you the explanation as to why, when she told them that Peter is knocking at the door, the prayer warriors, intercessory team inside there, together with the elders that are praying in the house of John Mark, looked at Rhoda, the slave girl, the woman, ordinary girl, very young and green. They say, "You are crazy." Church prayed constantly. When God answers their prayer constantly by releasing that which was impossible, planned by Herod to kill and to eliminate him, when the church prayed constantly, the disciples that are gathered in John Mark's house, this is painful. They are praying, but it seems to me as if, ladies and gentlemen, they don't believe in their prayers. Why do you say that, Josh? Because if they believed in their prayers, aren't they supposed to be excited? Go at least to check on the door whether what Rhoda, the slave, the female, the young girl, has said is so. Why would you pray and then doubt when God answers? How many people today, in the days that we're living in, they understand the element of prayer, they understand the mechanics of prayer, they understand the power behind prayer, but they don't seem to be believing it when God answers them? There are many people today, they believe in the power of tongues, they believe in the anointing behind prayer, they believe in the word of God in prayer, they believe in the confession and the declarations that come out with prayer. But the issue is not their prayer. The issue is they don't believe what they are praying. I can tell that the ones that were praying constant prayers, while they were praying constant prayers, but their attitude towards prayer was met with a wall, a defense barrier, a blockage, that did not believe that Herod is going to release them. They prayed to the right God, but they did not believe their prayers. Because when the young lady tells them, please watch this, Rhoda believed it was Peter. How did she know it was Peter? The Bible says she heard the knock. I love Rhoda, because Rhoda teaches me a powerful principle. It is the principle of walking with God by faith. It is the principle of understanding that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Many people, they miss their miracle, they miss their breakthrough, they miss the element of walking with God, they miss the blessing that God has intended for their lives, because while they pray full of worry, they pray full of anxiety, they pray full of stresses, they pray with their mouths, but their heart is troubled. I love this young girl, Rhoda. She teaches me a powerful principle. I don't have to see my Peter before I believe he's coming, before I believe she's on the way, before I believe God is doing it. The prayer of Rhoda surpasses the prayer of the prelate, of the pillars, of the elders, of the deacons that are in the church. They said of Rhoda, "You are crazy." But Rhoda was right. Are you one of those who, after even you pray, you can't collate your prayer to a God who hears you with your faith to the very God that you're praying to? Rhoda believed. She believed that God had heard them. By the time they open the door and they see it's Peter. We don't hear much about Rhoda. Allow me therefore to say, sometimes it is the prayers of the Rhodas, the Rhodas who are looked down upon, the Rhodas who are insignificant, the Rhodas who are the people that you are not talking to right now, the Rhodas that are the people that you have got an attitude against right now, the Rhodas could be your boss at work that you are not talking to, the Rhodas could be your mother-in-law that you've got issues with, the Rhodas could be that very person that believes that your God has heard you. Who is your Rhoda this day? Who is that person who holds the key to your Peter? Because it seems to me Rhoda knows without seeing. While those who you hold esteem, you respect, that's in order. But please, I just want to say to you, don't be so hooked on your friends, your classmates, your teammates, your colleagues, and end up ignoring Rhoda. Because, ladies and gentlemen, prayer is in order. But if your prayer does not lead you to hear when your answer has arrived, it is prayer without faith. And a faithless prayer won't take you anywhere. Rhoda is designed, given a name in our text, to teach us the value of those people you don't see as significant, the value of those people that you look down upon, the value of those people that you don't think much of and about, the value of those men or women in your midst, in your church, don't have much in terms of influence and affluence, the value of those that are often looked down upon, ignored, not taken seriously. Rhoda is designed to teach. She is the one looked down upon, young girl, slave girl, a woman. She brings the milk home. She brings the beef home, like they say. Because
She knew the power of prayer. May we learn, as I conclude on our program, that as you pray your prayers, understand what God is doing in the secret. Value everyone in prayer. I suppose the sad reality, really, when I'm concluding with you, how many of us pray to see deliverances, to see miracles, to receive answers to the problems that are troubling us in our families, in our homes, our pains, our aches, different situations that where we are desperate to see God move? Could it be? We pray right, but our prayers, they lack one thing very critical and important. Could it be? You have Sally, you have Sue, you have Joanna, but there is one person that seems to be missing in your prayer life. You miss Rhoda. You have finances, you have money, you have influence, you have got good connections, you have got those who know how to intercede with you for 24 hours. But if your prayer lacks a Rhoda who will connect the dots between your prayer and what she hears, discernment, you will not receive your Peter. Or should I say, your Peter will come, wait on the door, while it was still praying inside. What's the lesson tonight? Or today? Wherever you are, there must be a connection between constant prayer, Rhoda, and my hearing when my answer has been provided. Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network, this is the voice of Apostle Josh Moye once again on our studio with Cole Kayla Paget. May you be blessed. May we grow in the element of prayer. It's not just prayer because you prayed. Connect it with your Rhoda, because Rhoda will connect it to the hearing, and hearing is the missing link to give you your solution. May God bless you. Apostle Josh Moyo, Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network. See you next week. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.